Hello, good evening everybody. Hopefully you've had some time today to reflect and to get over the disappointment and the frustration of yesterday. I've left this video as late as I can to give myself that opportunity to kind of just maybe put things into perspective. Really, really strange day yesterday, I have to be honest. We travelled up with the guys from South Dorset Spurs on the minibus, and it was a very, very quiet bus. Bit of music playing, people chatting. But I don't believe that anybody really felt that this was going to be our day. Nobody really felt that we were going to win this game. It was going to be a good day for us from that point of view. But as Tottenham fans, we are obviously committed to being there and supporting our team. The weather over the weekend was obviously really, really bad. I know the guys from the Isle of Wight Spurs weren't able to make it because of the ferry crossing and so on, and had to try to sell their tickets, but they were on their way. We ourselves had two trees down on route and had to be diverted around to actually get there. But yeah, very, very strange day. Very subdued in the pubs as well. Even in LTs, it was very quiet. Probably until about maybe an hour and a half before the game, got a bit more busy, and Dell, the DJ, was doing his very best to kind of gee the support up. But yeah, felt very, very strange. I'm walking down the high road with my son-in-law, and it was so quiet, hardly anybody on the street, which is unusual. Like before the game, you normally got loads of people sort of streaming down from Edmonton down the high road, but no one around. Got into the stadium, and the thing that really hit me quite quickly was the amount of children that were there, which is a great thing, right? It's great to have lots of young supporters getting involved, going with their family and so on. Dads and mums bringing their kids and grandkids and so on. But that's a really unusual for a Tottenham-Chelsea game. Normally, you've got, you know, your hardcore of fans that go every week. You've got your season ticket holders that probably take up most of the spaces and so on. So really strange to see that, which kind of indicated that maybe there was a lot of tickets available on exchange and people were able to kind of pick them up. Indeed, I got to my seat and there was probably three or four next to me that weren't covered, and there were some new people to the left of me. We were really up for the game. But yeah, really, really, really strange. But it was a really good amount of people there. In the end, the ground filled up quite well. Of course, you had the TIFO thing in the south stand, which went up, which, you know, was done quite well. The people there did what they were asked to do. They held the thing up. Kind of strange. Koiti was there trying to get everyone up for the game and all the rest of it. And of course, when the game started, it went off best possible start we could get, right? Really, really good to see some real passion, some real press. Of course, we had Van de Ven back and we had Romero back, which was amazing to see. And I did think to myself, well, maybe that's what we've been building up for. Maybe Ange has stretched this squad to try and get those guys fit enough to come back rather than rushing them back and so on. And it looked pretty good. And of course, straight away, Cucurella falls over. Johnson's on top of it, plays a ball in, and Dominic Solanke puts it in the back of the net. And we're all going crazy. Fantastic. You couldn't have hoped for a better start 5 minutes or so into the game. And of course, not too long after that, we're 2-0 up, but Romero down. At the time, I thought, oh no, as he rushed him back and now he's done his toe again. But apparently it appears that he has done his quad, something totally different. obviously unforeseen. You don't think that's going to come on. But of course, we've got Radu Dragušin who can come in and cover that. And we have got Van de Ven there. So it's all good. It's all good. But there were warning signs. There were warning signs. We're watching it. And of course, we see Jadon Sancho kind of just walking through the defence, and it was coming. It was absolutely coming. Porro was far too central, not picking it up, not getting out quick enough. And of course, Jadon Sancho does what Jadon Sancho does and puts the ball in the back of the net, and it's really frustrating. And you just knew that that was that's where we were heading. Of course, you know, Johnson's injured because he wasn't feeling well, so we had to change him. Van de Ven went off, tightness in his leg. Hopefully not too bad. Precautionary, hopefully, and he's off as well. So there's a couple of other things we're kind of having to contend with. I have to talk about the challenge on Saar from Casado. Obviously, the big call out for that is this game last season, Romero is off for that. And this season, Casado doesn't even get a yellow. Like, it doesn't even really get looked at. Unfortunately, Saar should have made a bigger deal out of it. He should have screamed out loud. He should have rolled around on the floor. He should have played the game. Because, you know, that's a bad challenge. Bad challenge. And, yeah. We get nothing from the game. In fact, I didn't think, and I'm not saying that this made a difference in the game, because I don't think it did. But the real frustration for me was how poor the referee was yesterday. If you were in blue and you were touched, you had a free kick. If you were in white, you didn't. Now, there were some periods where we did get a few free kicks. Of course we did. But it just felt very, 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 very lopsided. And even the linesman giving a throw in the wrong way is like, you know, the mind boggles at how you can't see that when you're that close to it. But listen, that didn't change the momentum of the game in terms of what it was going to end up like. And of course, you know, Cole Palmer, what a player that guy is. You know, that's got to be Pep Guardiola's biggest mistake, is letting him go, because, wow, he's just ripping it up and he is just so good. I like watching him live. You can see he's just tiptoeing through our defence. He gave Udogi a really difficult, difficult time. And that's the equaliser. And then, of course, you have to talk about Bissouma running himself into danger, trying to get a free kick, trying to buy a free kick that never came. And so then decides to run as fast as he can down into the penalty area and take a player out and give away a penalty. I mean, it is the height of stupidity. It is the height of stupidity. And at that point, you know, the tide is turning, it's going against you, and you are up shit creek without a paddle. Add to that, Saar putting his hands on the back of a player in blue who are getting every decision going their way. And of course, then you're giving away a second penalty, and Cole Palmer, you know, rocks up and does the cheeky, do they call it a Pelinka or something? And, you know, it's just mugging you off at that point. There were opportunities in the game. We did have opportunities in the game. Sonny, ripping it up, gets himself into a great position where all he has to do is lay it off to Timo Werner, but decides he's going to go for goal, go for the glory, and totally misses it. And so, you know, you're running on scraps. We hit the crossbar as well. We had some opportunities in there. We, you know, it was end-to-end stuff at some points. And we did get one back with Maddison, you know, basically doing what Cole Palmer did and tiptoed all the way through the uh, through the Chelsea defence, laid it back for Sonny. But by that time, it was just too late. So many fans had already left the ground, to be honest with you, when it was at 4-3, and makes it feel a little bit closer than it actually was. I think a couple of things I really need to say is that I thought Chelsea were brilliant. I thought, as painful as it is to say, listen, you know, I hate Arsenal because I am a Tottenham fan. I hate Chelsea because I am a Hugh man. But they were so good, so good. Their passing was crisp. It was, you know, the movement around, making space for each other. I didn't even think they really needed to press us too much. You know, they just had total confidence and control over the ball. And they just moved it so elegantly and so quickly that we just couldn't cope with it at all. And I thought they were good. And I genuinely can see why they are second in the league. And I think they are genuine challengers for Liverpool. They are the best team that's come to White Hart Lane so far that I've watched play football. I thought they were very, very good, and absolutely deserved the win. But it is just so frustrating and disappointing for us, because to get yourself in a really good position and throw it all away with, you know, really poor defending and really, you know, stupid decisions and wasteful opportunities to get back in that, it really does show. We are so, so light. And this rebuild that we're talking about, whilst I understand people don't want a rebuild, even though we need a rebuild, they don't have the stomach for a rebuild, but some of the rebuild needs rebuilding. Destiny Udogie last season was really good player, breakthrough player, really did well. And I thought he was excellent. This season, not so much. But yesterday, he was poor. We had a poor game. Whether that's because Cole Palmer just ripped him, I don't know. But yeah, I desperately, and I've said it a few times already, but on other people's pods, that we need backup for him for sure. Someone who can challenge him, someone who can drive him forward, someone who we can replace him with. Now, whether that's Jed Spence or not, I don't know. I haven't seen Jed Spence enough to know if he's good enough. But of course, if a player's not playing, they become the best thing since sliced bread. So lots of people calling out for Jed Spence to get an opportunity. But I'm not convinced, and I don't think Ange is convinced on Jed Spence. Bissouma as well. He's up and down season. He's played a couple of really good games, done quite well this season. Better than last season in patches. But his decision-making sometimes is just leaves a lot to be, you know, thought about. He keeps running into danger. He keeps losing the ball. He keeps being soft in the tackle. And you can't do that against some of these really good teams. You just can't. And I think, you know, we are missing Bentancur, and because of his own stupidity. And again, need someone in there who's going to be able to do that. Now, whether Archie Gray is able to do that, I don't know. Defensively, he looks fairly solid. He's just a young lad. Get it. He may not be the answer, but to be honest with you, I'm not sure he'd do any worse at this point. He came on and did okay in defence, coming in for Van de Ven, did okay. Really confident lad, really confident lad. And I've seen him up close and very, very solid on the ball. I'd be surprised if he did a worse job, to be honest with you. I certainly think he could probably do a few more minutes in that position to see how he gets on. Maybe that's something for Rangers. I don't know. I was also fairly impressed with Bergvall as well. I thought him coming on, he seemed really quite assured and keen. Played some good balls out wide to Timo Werner. If only Timo had been able to take a couple of them in his stride, I think we could have had a better couple of opportunities. I don't think all is lost on Bergvall. I don't think he should be sent out on loan. I think he needs to play more to get in those opportunities, though, right? So I get it. Nobody wants 18-year-olds as your out and out backup. But I still think that they deserve their opportunity to be in the squad. I do look at some of the performances from some of the other players and think, I'm not sure they'll do a worse job if I'm being honest. Couple of other bits just to call out, because I have seen it written. I've tried to stay away from social media, but it has been kind of sent to me that people talking about there was no Daniel Levy chance or anything like that. We let him off the hook and all the rest of it. Well, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. There was an awful lot of Daniel Levy get out of our club being sung yesterday. Certainly in the south stand, where I was sitting behind me and to the right of me, because I'm pretty much on the far left sort of shelf side of the south stand. But there was a lot of that being sung, especially when we went behind, which I thought was quite funny. Because to be fair, Daniel Levy wasn't on the pitch when Bissouma, kicked the Chelsea player in the air. He wasn't there, and he wasn't there when Saar pushed the other Chelsea player. I can't think of who they were, but pushed him in the back. But listen, I get it. I totally understand. You could have a whole podcast or four about Daniel Levy. Far too much for this conversation. Maybe it's something we can talk about on Tuesday. But yeah, so just to put the record straight, there was a lot of chanting about Daniel Levy. Interestingly, there was an awful lot of singing for Ange as from the flip side of that, which I thought was quite good to see, because I genuinely do want him to be a success and don't really want him sacked. Listen, I get it. I understand the frustration from people, but I'm really worried that we're going to end up in this constant cycle. And you need to get to a point where the only option for the board is to support the manager, is to buy them the players that they need. Because, just keep sacking the manager just lets them off the hook, because you're then put into well, we need a new manager, new philosophy, new types of player. And you're in that all over. At this point, they've supported Ange. They want him to play some sort of football. That's what they've said. That's what they asked for. So now they've got to give him the tools to do the job. So there's no one else to blame but themselves. So if they don't support, if they don't give him the money, if they don't buy players, then the pressure, quite rightly, should be on them, not necessarily the manager. When you start giving the manager the tools to do the job and it doesn't work, that's the time you call out the manager, when they're being given the tools. And don't say to me, he's spent £300 million. That is not the tools. This season was about getting rid of a lot of the deadwood to make the spaces for the people to come in. You're building for the future, so you bring in some youngsters, but you still got to have players for now. So now is the time that the board have to come good and start giving him that, so that he can have a big enough squad, a strong enough squad, to be able to compete. Because at the moment he doesn't, and that is not all down to Ange Postecoglou. So I want him to stay. I want him to be given the opportunity to show what he can do with the right players. So they need to come good. And I want the pressure to be on Daniel Levy, Donna Cullen, and all these other people sat in the boardroom just taking their money, because it's just not on to keep changing this philosophy every 18 months just to give the appearance that we are trying to do something. We're listening to you. We're listening to you. We understand. We're going to get rid of this manager, and we're going to give you your Tottenham back. No, you're not. You're just going to hold us off for someone else, let get our hopes up, and watch it all go through this same cycle again in another 18 months. So time for that to stop. We've got to stay strong here and try to give that manager every bit of support that he can get. So anyway, interested to see that. The TIFO thing really is really interesting, because there was an email saying don't throw the things, don't make paper complaints and all the rest of it. And literally, as soon as the TIFO went down, it was up in the air. We're throwing that they were kind of throwing them like confetti, or throwing them down at the Chelsea players, or throwing them down. The poor old stewards were up and down on the pitch trying to chuck them off, and every time they kicked them off, there's another load got thrown at them. So don't expect to see to be seeing a TIFO anytime soon, because what you have to remember is, wasn't the club who wanted the TIFO, wasn't the club who organised the TIFO, wasn't the club who paid for the TIFO. It was a fan group THFC Flags, who did all that work. So all their hard work is now wasted, because you'll never get to see that again, and they'll blame the fans for that. I get the reason why they do it, frustration and all the rest of it. But, you know, we talk about poor atmosphere at the stadium, and everything anyone tries to do to improve the atmosphere gets shouted down. A lot of the time by people who don't even go to the ground, to be fair. The trumpeter's a problem, the drummer's a problem, the TIFO's a problem, the flags are a problem, everything's a problem. You know, James Black singing in the concourses is a problem. But everything you try to do to improve the atmosphere or the experience for the match-going fans gets poo-pooed and moaned about. So it's just one of those. I thought there was a really interesting tweet before the game I saw. I really liked it. There's a guy trying to sell his ticket to the game, got to make it for whatever reason. I think weather related, I think it was. And someone wrote to him and said, make a stand, don't sell your ticket, just don't go to the game. And he said, I'll tell you what, you buy the ticket and don't go to the game, because clearly you ain't got, well, he didn't say this, but clearly they didn't have a ticket. But yeah, they weren't going to buy someone's ticket not to go to the game. Because, I mean, listen, if someone wants to buy my season ticket and not go to the games to make a stand, I'm happy for them to do that. But I can't really afford to just throw away that money every season. As much as it would be nice to be able to make that stand. But there you go. But, you know, I make my own little stand. I go to the ground as late as I can. I never buy a drink in the ground. I don't buy food in the ground. And I leave, you know, fairly soon, straight after, without buying a drink. I make my own little stand against it. But Tottenham is part of my relaxation, my enjoyment, my hobby. It's in my heart, and I'm always going to go to the games. Whether that upsets people or not, unfortunately, that's what I do. And I love to support my team, and I won't give it up for anybody else, even just to make a point. So that is what it is. But as you can see, this is a bit of a subdued rambling. I've gone on for over 20 minutes already, so I doubt anybody's stuck around this long anyway. But listen, it's disappointing, it's frustrating, it's stressful. But I did feel that there was some more passion in the team. I did feel that we worked harder. But they've got to do that at every game. You can't do that just for the big games. And you've got to do it for 90 minutes. You can't just do it for the first half and think that's enough, or do it for the second half because you're behind. You've got to do it for 90 minutes. You've got to do it against every team. And I know it's difficult, and I know it's hard to keep up that momentum, especially if a team's pushing back at you. And that's why we need the strength in depth. That's why we need more than 18-year-old lads with potential. It's up to Ange to fix that. January is not far away. And so I'm hoping that will show some intent, some level of intent, depending on which players are available. You've got to look at, say, well, who's available? Are they the right player? Will they improve us? Because, yeah, we've been down that road as well. And some players have been brought in for big money, big wages, that haven't improved us, and of course it's nothing but aggro. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And we're not there to make those decisions, and we're not the ones paying out the millions of pounds a week in wages and so on. And I want my club to be sustainable. I do want it to be around for my grandchildren to be able to hopefully one day enjoy going. if only, right? But yeah, it is a difficult time when you've got people like Tony Bayliss from South Dorset Spurs saying he may take a break from it. Then you know it's a bit of a worry. Anyway, here we go. On to Rangers. Let's see where that takes us. I'll be back for Shooting the Shit tomorrow night with the Essex boys. Hopefully we can talk a little bit more about some of this other stuff and get some other people's views on it, apart from just mine. But anyway, listen, If you've got this far, 25 minutes in, thanks for watching. I really appreciate it. Please leave your comments in the comment section below and let me know how you're feeling about it all. I do read them all, and it's good to know how everyone's feeling. It's not just me, right? But keep the faith. We keep on going. And as always, up the Spurs.